do you?
We've had none made by chairman and public
mayor. Right, so we will continue. Attendance of pupils out of white schools.
All right, are we going
to get sides?
Yep.
So whilst that is lining itself up, I perhaps have a few opening comments. So David and I will talk from our perspective, presented key ideas of primary education and David and secondary education. The purpose of this report is to compare the RLI standards with published national standards. So some of this information we've already had when we were speaking about the RLI, but we're now able to compare it. Thank you to other schools. I think the overall picture, as we tried to summarise at the start, is that we are pleased with some of the attainment gains that have been made in the last year, following the improvement in provision that we've seen as marked by Ofsted inspection results over time. It's not uncommon for the results that children have achieved to be more achieved as a sustained improvement in quality of teaching over time. That's the right way for it to happen. Quick gains in results result of just gimmicks and strategies just at the last minute that don't do anybody any good, frankly. So, in terms of the early years foundation profile, this is a set of teacher assessments undertaken at the age of five, so in the year in which children are 5 years old, leads to the national measure, which is a good level of development, essentially being ready for the more formal curriculum standards and structures that follow from year one onwards. And the story for the RLI on this has been a significant improvement. 5 years ago, that's been held now for about 3 years. So it's stabilised around the national average. The cohort size means that fluctuations of a percent or so could always happen, particularly when children is measuring something that schools have only had in their care for 1 year. So the differences in a cohort of the kind of different background, family experiences, early years experiences, are more likely to play a part at the end of the early years than they will further on in school, and schools have more opportunity to address them. So I don't think we should over-celebrate being a percent above national or over-catastrophize being a percent below. Essentially, this is broadly in line with national. That's a really good starting point for us to fill from. Moving on, the question is how do we sustain that and continue to move that forward? Essentially, and these are principles that I'm sure in every key stage, but particularly in early years, it is the role and the skills of the adults, and they're not just teachers, but all the adults who work with young children, that are one of the key conditions for improving outcomes for children in this stage. And you made the interest in that last bullet point, because whilst one might think that the predictor of academic success is communication and maths skills, it actually is as much predicted by personal, social, and emotional development. You can probably start to speculate why that would be, being self-regulated, being able to concentrate, to learn, to get on with your peers, to be able to think for yourself, and interesting physical development. There's a very clear link between children who are able to grasp from large motor skills to fine motor skills and being able to be competent writers by the end of key stage two. Obviously, one of the strategies to improve writing by the time you're 11 is to put your baby on his tummy or her tummy so that they develop the vestibular muscles, because that's linked. So it's large scale movements that lead to improvements in fine scale movements that lead to being able to write. So the link between early years, and that's why we call it a foundation stage. It's not just an academic foundation stage, it's an academic distance, it's a foundation stage for lots of skills. The other key thing, of course, is the importance of the relationship between the setting and their home environment. Parents are a very significant educator of children at the age of five. They're always, but they are particularly important. Therefore, settings need to work hard at trying to work with parents and their skills and understandings as well. Moving on to the end of primary education, so key stage two, you've heard the phrase before, I think, age-related expectations. Worth just think touching base what that means. The standard that a typical 11-year-old might be expected to reach against the national curriculum. It's not, unlike psych proficiency, a standard that everybody is enabled to get. It is a rationed standard, because otherwise the standard wouldn't mean anything. So it is referenced against all the other children nationally, and some children, frankly, are never going to reach it, because they're not the children's skills, they won't have the level of skills that are anticipated. However, the Isle of Wight standards have been too low for too long, and you know that's been a concern. It's not because people aren't trying, but we wanted to address that. You may remember those in this room last year, and David presented a report that we were collectively disappointed that having made really significant gains to 2017, that appeared to be lost. And I referred to it in the report. Schools who we had worked closely with and then stepped away from, too many of those schools have been unable to sustain that improvement without close support. So the schools that we then worked with then improved, but it was compensated by a loss in other schools. That led to us thinking quite hard again about some fundamental strategies, and I'll refer to three of them. Firstly, the improvement in standards comes from integrating the skill, improving the skills of teachers and improving the skills of leaders to track and support and challenge the teachers to be able to make that progress and sustain that over time. We are delighted, therefore, that not only is the loss from 1 year being gained, but actually we've gone fairly significant improvement, closed the gap fairly dramatically on national standards with that improvement of 5% that you can see there. Hidden underneath that, and I've addressed that in the report, it essentially is driven by the lowest attaining subject. So for age-related expectations, a child has to achieve standard in all of reading and writing and maths. So children who are at it in reading and maths, but not in writing, they don't count in that first figure or any combination. Our analysis led us quite clearly to the view that it was the low attainment in maths that was dragging down the number of children reaching the combined standard, and we put a significant amount of work into that, supported by a government fund, the Strategic School Improvement Fund, with a project that David worked really hard on to convince the DfE that we knew how to do it if only we had the money. They gave us the money, and phew, we did it. And that's a credit to all of the teachers, the expertise that we drawn upon in our team and other professionals to be able to achieve that. So behind the figure for maths there, which has improved from 66 to 74, that is an 8% improvement, is actually a 15% improvement in the schools we worked with. So project led to such a high hike in those 20 schools, it improved the overall standard of the average of 40 schools in primary.
Chairman, can I ask a question on that?
Of course, yeah.
With reading, writing and mathematics, there's a 6% difference between us and the national. But it's not an improvement as such, because that's where we were in 2017. And then we went back down 10%, and now we're back up here to 6. So we're only back to where we were in 2017. Is that right?
So if we take the individual subjects separately, and thank you for that question, maths, you'll see, was lower than the attainment in the other two subjects, and therefore that was the focus last year. If you look at the national figures for reading, the national figures for reading fell back last year. There was something about the reading test, we think we know what it is, that set a higher challenge nationally for all schools And you'll see that it's a relative victory in that our standard fell back from 2000, and our standard went on the Isle of Wight from 69 to 71. So actually, the difference in 1 year, well, I've explained, I think, we know we went backwards in 2018, but the difference is the national standard dropped by 2%, the Isle of Wight reading standard went forward by 2%, so that's a 4% gain. But you're absolutely right, that hasn't gone first part of as it did in maths, but maths was the much lower and drag anchor on that combined figure.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. With writing, writing is a teacher assessment. We have now completed a cycle where we moderate, in other words, check that the expected standard is being interpreted correctly in 25% of schools. So it takes us 4 years to go around the system and make sure that schools aren't inappropriately interpreting the standard. So we're more confident that the figure that's come out now represents a more even and interpretation of the expected standard rather than any standard that might have been previously inflated by being a standard that was not subject to statutory testing in the same way that the others were. So we think around about that standard, that's something we now can build from. It's gone forward, we're not unhappy that it hasn't gone forward more, because I suspect that we would have been as confident in that. Makes sense. Okay, so in terms of moving forward, try to learn the lessons of previously. So it is the sustainability of the standards. We have had some experience on the other side of making gains and then not securing them. And so we are very acutely aware and systemically aware of the risk of that. We improve one thing, it's like, come on, you improve one thing, you look at something else, if you're not careful, the thing you were looking at goes back again. Two things really. In order to sustain the maths but without any funding, the generous fund from the DfE, we've done three things. First of all, we've taken the best teachers of mathematics from the project, and we are using them as a set of teachers to enhance their skills and use across the island to support others. There is some funding for subject knowledge in maths that comes through the nationally funded maths hubs. We have plugged that stream of resource into our teachers. And those project schools that we felt less secure that the leadership around the whole subject was likely to maintain without a bit of scrutiny, we've continued that development, support and scrutiny rather than stepping away entirely from that project group of schools. So we'll see if that strategy is the right thing to hold on to the game of the majority again as we move forward. The last part of this is we have also taken some of the lessons from the maths project and put it into more of our universal work with all primary schools on the island, who we've replaced having an annual visit to having term visits, so that we can keep in contact with all schools in terms of where they are, in terms of tracking the standards, making the interventions that they need to, and provide them with subject knowledge sessions in areas that we found by working with them are areas of common interest. So we have a more continuous cycle of involvement with all schools, not just the priority schools, than we have previously.
Just a quick question, is this ongoing and when did you actually put it in place?
So the maths strategy we started, so it continued on from the end of the funded programme. And the LRP programme, as we were the Leadership and Learning Partner programme, was instituted in this academic year.
Right. I thought so, I just wanted to double check. Thank you.
Okay. I can take any other questions about primary.
Right, if we start with Councillor Andre.
Thank you very much for that presentation. You mentioned, and I entirely agree with this, that it has to be a joint approach between the school and the parents. Now, I know certainly from my particular school that the parents are, by the way, newsletters, encouraged to access the a lot of information that is out there in terms of, you know, BBC, Barnside, all of those kind of things. What kind of oversight do you have? Because there is some extremely good practice going on in the schools that I feel should perhaps be embedded in a strategy level to actually encourage parents to access things so that we are not totally reliant on things that happen in school and funding from government.
So I think two observations on that really. One is that strategies for revision at the end of a key stage in year six, whilst welcome, won't compensate for failings in teaching and gaps in curriculum acquisition. They may well warm children up for the statutory testing process, which is a bit alien, let's be honest, sitting in a room when you're 11 years old and having your entire primary standard that you've achieved in maths tested in a couple of papers that take 45 minutes. Well, it's a way of testing whether children have got mathematical ability, but it's not necessarily the only way. So I think schools use those strategies to help parents. Some take them, the second point is, however, it is a school decision. Some schools prefer not to, and I think when you're thinking about children and young people's mental health and well-being, for some children, that what may seem as support, given that schools cannot moderate the way that is happening in the home, may actually be counterproductive. So I think the right and proper people to shape the right strategy for their children is at a school level rather than at a system level.
Sean?
Yeah, you haven't covered on your slides about high retainers in primary school, 6% of the IELTS achieved. You haven't put on slides about the high retainers for primary schools. Only 6% of the IELTS achieved high retainers for education within primary schools. This sets the national average of 11%. So what about that?
Yes. I think the in a system of resource over a period of trying to improve practice whilst we're not ignoring the needs of children who are capable of higher attainment, I think the phrase used secondary ready part of this challenge is to make sure that we enable as many children as possible to cross that threshold as the priority within all of the things we'd like to happen. I think there is a case to be made as we secure this standard, then the focus will move towards more of the focus on that children within this subset. It's a well-being point.
Does the worrying thing is key stage two does count on to secondary school, because that's like the baseline where you go on key stage four. So if there's no high retainers, how can we make sure that they're correct at that?
I think the reality is that more children achieve high standards in secondary education than we're going to find in a greater depth standard or a higher scale school in primary. It is a bit, apart from anything else, of course, we're only measuring attainment in reading, writing, and mathematics. I think there is a link between mathematics in particular. I think that's, again, why we would need to make sure we've got the subject knowledge basis right. But I think the bottom line is to improve subject knowledge for teachers in the curriculum area, and then I think we can build the standards upon that. But it's an accurate observation. We shouldn't shy away from it.
Councillor Love?
Thank you for your report. I always enjoy listening to education matters. Can I just go to B3? B3. I'm really looking at 14. It's obviously we've invested a significant amount of funding into supporting teachers, and then what you said is the same basically is that when you step back from the threshold, that then that isn't continued by the teachers and the school. And so obviously there's an investment that this council has put in, and the schools are not then carrying that forward. So do we understand exactly why that is? Is that because when putting an extra support person to that in actual fact you've got an additional person in the classroom potentially, or is it because that teacher's not actually carrying it forward, or is it because I just need to, we need to understand that, because we've got an investment there that needs to be sustained from a council point of view.
I think it's a combination of things. Firstly, of course, the teachers who teach next year's Year 6 are not necessarily the same teachers who taught the Year 6 before. So if you're in the programme and you have a professional focus and we started with Year 5 teachers and Year 6 teachers, then it may be that they're different teachers who were teaching previously in Year 3 and year 4. What that points to is the need for each school to learn deeply and apply the principles across all of the classrooms, not just the ones that we're focusing on. Now that was a built-in part of the narrative that we had with schools. We said, okay, we're going to focus on this particular group of children. We did it over 2 years. We started in year 5. And what we were aiming to do in the maths project this time round was to teach teachers and leaders strategies that you can apply in every year group. So this is not a catch-up strategy. We focus on the older children, but we worked with the head teachers and we worked with subject leaders in addition to the specific teachers to give us more of an opportunity to make whole school points. And I think that then goes back to the last of those strategy points I made up there. Then by working with the whole system on a termly cycle, we are reinforcing those messages to leaders. But in the end, it's quite clear that, and in fact it's the fifth of the 5 national standards about professional development. The fifth one is that leaders in school take advantage of the experts, or we can design the programs, but it is the fifth standard is that leaders take advantage of that and use that and build that into their routine.
One more question because of time. Fine. Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's really important because obviously, if we put investment in there, it works whilst the workers are there delivering that programme and that CP, and then the school then moves everybody around. It's money that's lost, it's time that's lost, it's energy that's lost. And I really think that we ought to monitor that and put that into the monitoring point for next year to see whether the new strategy, because obviously, if we're putting the money in, and then it's not working, this is slipped back, then we need to revisit that strategy, don't we? So I would like to put that as a monitoring point for the future, if you could, when we come back next year, that we look at that point specifically to see whether there's been a slip back or a progressive forward.
Just to comment on that, we'd kind of clocked that a year ago, and that's precisely why we made a change to the programme of the visits from the linked inspector. Previously, we'd been working on that on the basis of a linked inspector going in to carry out an annual visit. And the problem with an annual visit is it doesn't get under the skin of really understanding the degree to which the school is embedding all this training and support that they've been getting. So what we have done, when we reflected on the disappointments from the previous years, was make that change to the tax inspector programme. And every maintained school now gets a termly visit from the tax inspector. So instead of a big one, on an annual basis, it's becoming like much more feet to foot to really have that focus on to what degree are you really driving through and embedding change in school.
Councillor Braden?
It's kind of a good point, actually, because Sean's raised a really good point about the higher achievers. When I visit primary schools, if they're above national average, I'm talking about reading, writing, and maths. If they're at national average, I'm talking about higher achievers. You might get national average of 70%. But the high level, the low national average on the higher overtakes. And it's very important also that when Natalie Smith visits the school, she does every day of the week, to challenge them to get from the maths programme. You know, you really want the maths last year, how have you embedded it, not in year 6, but in year 5, and now to year 4. But I mean, that started to play down through the school. So the work was done on the project for those 20 schools, is now beaten down through year 5 and year 4. The other point is that after Luther Cowell's enterprise coming back across the team recently, and in the first term, they do reassess all the years, all the new year 7 children, looking specifically at, you know, what level were they at? Are they actually at that level? Or were the results or why not? Or were the results not terribly true, sorry, but also looking at the higher takes, they can identify within those in the first term, the year 7 children that potentially are high. So it is a, I can't speak the other way, the 70 school component, there's a lot of tap there, might have got 7 cows and Christ the King who do that.
Thank you. So can we move on? Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to talk to the Kingsage Board results. And I got bored by starting this session every year by saying, we've been going through an unprecedented period of change in secondary education. This is the last time I'm going to say that.
Really?
Yes. Because we are now at the end of that unprecedented period of change. This was the last year of the introduction of all the change courses. So courses like technology and some art courses have been examined in this new kind of harder GCSE approach for the first time this year. And now I think, thankfully, all of that kind of turmoil over the past 3-4 years has I don't want to say stop because someone else may have some ideas, but we're now at a point of stability. The other thing that I would say is that on the island, we have, over the 5 years, also gone through a kind of quite unprecedented change in terms of the leadership of secondary schools. And I think this year was a kind of key year for me because it's the first year, if you like, of the new leadership team of secondary heads. It's their first kind of set of results. So I was waiting on these with bated breath, and I was really pleased to see. I think I can pick this up across all the measures that I can just sense green shoots. I don't want to overplay it, and I know what frost is like, and all those sorts, but I've just got a sense of green shoots. So the basics is the measure that is most like the old 5 A's to C measure, because what it is a threshold measure, and it's one that gives you a sense of something children have got to get before they can move on to college. And in that sense, it's kind of important for children. Some of the other measures that we get onto are not important for children, and you were heard me rant last year about my kind of thoughts and some of those. But this is a key measure, and you can see that what we've got there against the national flatline over 3 years now is we've got some sort of significant growth, and sat beneath that, the bit that I'm kind of particularly pleased about is the individual performance in English as a subject and the performance in mathematics as a subject. I put that data in the report because we are now within a split of the national. I might go as far as saying in English we're broadly in line, and in mathematics we are just a bit below national. And in terms of a 3-year improvement, there has been some good work in schools there, and that has set us up for that improvement in the basics.
Can I just ask you a question about that?
Yeah.
In item 29, you're on a... In item 29, you talked about schools which have been and received support have generally improved from the previous performance. And the support for the local authority. Does this mean that there is schools are benefiting from support? Is that financial support we're talking about? And is it getting better quality from some schools, or is it the support that the council offers to
to all schools.
So this is the support from our local authority advisors and inspectors. And that has mainly been targeted into maintained schools. So what we have got this year, to London about it, is the Bay has held its own and got slightly better in some areas, which you know we think they will grow on this year. The Dean of Carisbrook has held its own and got better in some areas. Christ the King has moved forward quite considerably, and as a block of maintained schools, there's just a kind of cohesion there that we've not had before. And that's what that paragraph really alludes to. And it's a thing that comes up through the report. But when we look at particularly the maintained schools, there's a sense of, with the changes in leadership that happened, that these schools now just begin, you can just sense, we're kind of on the edge of something. I'll come back next year and you'll slap me and say, I told you we're on the edge of something, and it's really a precipice rather than a kind of a route to heaven. But
I'd like you to come back then and tell me that next year that all schools have got support and they've all gone.
That's the issue around, because if you're an academy, you get your support from another source rather than the local authority. So Ride is an AET academy, will be getting their support.
They get support, do they?
Allegedly. They have also been engaged with local support, CANS will be getting their support through August and as their own sponsor. So those are the individual subject area performances in terms of English and maths. And it's particularly the kind of growth in maths there that has really set up that improvement in basics. English has always been pretty much in line with the national over the past 2 years. It's maths where we've seen the real growth, and there's been significant work in schools with their mathematics departments. Attainment 8 was the subject of a rant last year for me, because this is a measure which is as much to do...
Sorry to disturb you before you move on to this, still on GCSEs. I was wondering why you use 4 plus as against all government sites, use 5 plus, which is a higher C, and it says the lower C is the minimum without take of intake for English, because the lowest average for 5 plus on the island is 34% against the average of 43% for 5 plus.
And the reason I've got 4 plus is for historic reasons, actually, because when this first started back in 2017, it was 4 plus that was the figure that was quoted by the DfE in the national tables. And over time, what has happened is that the government has said we're also now going to be quoting 5 plus. So next year I can come back and talk to you about 5 plus as well. But the reason we've got 4 plus in is that enables us to compare that to 2017, which we wouldn't be able to do because we haven't got the same level of quality national 5 plus figure for 2017.
The reason I asked that question is going back to the primary school 6% target achievement, and this is 5 plus, which is a high C, 34%. Are we not aiming higher?
My thing about primary children who are working at above expected age-related expectations, they should not be aiming at 5 plus, they should be aiming at grade 7, 8, 9. There is no kind of national approved 7 plus measure, but that would be the one that you would expect your 6% at Key Stage 2 to move into rather than 5 plus.
And that's all that's concerning me. Are we aiming too low on the island? Should we be aiming for higher instead of just with those ceilings?
Your mind.
No, what's concerning me is the island white aiming too low?
Interesting. This measure is also a measure that the 10 and 8 that picks up
the breadth of the performance. So it's not just a threshold measure, it's an average grade. So if you get lots of children performing at high grades, that's one way of shifting your attainment aid up. And I don't detect that schools particularly have a sense of dumbing down the curriculum. What one of the things for me which marks out the white schools, which are different to Hampshire schools, is the way that they have a sick hall. And as a teacher, if I can just about remember my days as a teacher, it was different when you were teaching in a school with a sick hall than when you were teaching in a school without a sick hall. Because what you were doing all the time was you were pushing kids on because you wanted sick hall classes. It was a kind of internal measure within the school. How many sick hall children you actually had studying your subject. So I don't believe there are low expectations. I think there are challenges for people to be able to turn those expectations into something which children can learn from. But that's the kind of work in hand. So attainment aid, as I was saying, is a measure of an average grade across eight subjects. And I like the fact that it's an average, because an average is about children at the top, children at the bottom, the children in the middle. And in a comprehensive system, that is right and proper. So we can't, to do well on an average measure, you can't write off a group of children at the bottom and say, well, they're never going to get it, so we're not going to worry about it. That there is something really right about an average measure, and I'm a supporter for that. I just don't like the way that what we've got is a combination of particular subjects to get your average grades, which I think have an impact on certain particular groups of children. But those are my own personal kind of issues, and I'm working through those slowly. And in any support you can give me on that, I will gratefully receive. But again, what we've got this year is an improvement in attainment aid. It's flatline nationally, and we've got that to 1.5% 1.5 improvement, which I think is a significant improvement. And again, you can track back to particularly the maintained schools that have been receiving local authority support. That seems to be, if you were going to say to me, what do I think has caused it? It's in those schools that we're seeing the growth beginning to happen. Progress aid is, again, something I had a little rant about last year. But this is the measure which gives you a sense of the progress that children have made from their key stage to starting points compared to children with similar key stage to starting points nationally in the eight subjects that make up the attainment aid kind of combination. And if you are in line with the national figure, you will come in at minus 0.03. If you are better than the national figure, you get a plus figure, and the plus figures are only fractional. If you are worse, if the children make worse progress, then you get a negative figure. So the R white is minus 0.34, which is an improvement on 2018 and an improvement on 2017. Still a lot of work to do there. There still is the need to improve the average grade that children get across those that suite of eight subjects. And a lot of our work still is not just focused on English and mathematics, it is really about working with schools across the breadth of subjects to really help them improve in the way that English and mathematics have learned, particularly this year.
Councillor,
sorry, it's just to say your figures are slightly better than that, because when I was looking through it earlier, you put minus 34% of the items. So if it's 32 students, they still include the junior score, minus 55.
We would have to include the studio school in that, and the figures we've got in here are basically provisional figures.
the DfE, when we wrote the report, to take it through scrutiny and everything, we wrote the report before the final figures had actually been published. So the DfE had published final figures in February, I think it was. They were delayed this year. So there will be some slight differences between figures in here and the final ones, but the theme for me is the same, that I just have a sense of hope that we've got, through this period of change, we've got leaders now who are different leaders, who are, I think, much more engaged in a sense of, let's really try and improve education here.
Councillor Love, do you have a question?
Thank you. Thank you for your report. It's nice to hear that we're making progress, isn't it? That's the first thing, even if it's just by a small percentage, it's still nice to hear that we're making progress and no need to make a lot more yet. I do want to go through the opening statements. I am kind of worried about the in that it's about how many young people do some schools enter into that progress age to start with. So for instance, I'd like to know, so you give us an outcome of percentages, but what's the input? So for instance, Scouts Enterprise School, I'm speaking to somebody often, would be like, you know, of their 100% of pupils that would enter, they only entered 63%. And that worries me in terms of performance outcomes. And in other schools, it's even lower. So when we talk about an outcome, it's an outcome against the 63% that were actually entered into the. And what I really like to know is how we perform, how does that compare to other schools across the whole, you know, well, the county should be our nearest comparison. But that worries me. It seems to be, some people say this to me, watch it say over and out again, that actually schools are not entering or, you know, reporting on pupils who can't achieve, and therefore they get left out statistical data and get false results.
So you give me a number of questions, right? Yeah, there's only one there. So thank you for that.
Turn your mic.
I think you might be confusing two things. There's a thing called the English Baccalaureate,
yeah,
which is basically you have to study, you have to have passed English language, you have to take English literature, a mathematics, a modern form language, a science, and a humanity. No, those are the things that count for the English Baccalaureate as a qualification, and those. I think that's the figure you've got, 65%, is the proportion of children who take that combination of subjects. And that varies heavily from school to school, which is different to how many children got three counting EBAC subjects in the attainment aid calculation, three counting other subjects in the attainment aid subject, and English and the mathematics. Okay, so one of the challenges that I think faces heads, and this was part of the conversation we had last year, is you could easily think, what I'm going to do for my school is I'm going to boost my attainment aid. And the way I'm going to boost my attainment aid is I'm going to make sure every child has three EBAC subjects, three other subjects, English and mathematics, that's what they're going to study, whether that's what floats their boat or not. And one of the places where you really pick up this tension is the three EBAC subjects that count an attainment aid subject have to be science, a modern form language, or history and geography. If you'd have made me at the age of 14 study history and geography, you'd have known about it. That was never anything that I was going to be interested in. My issue is that you have children who might be highly skilled in kind of performing expressive arts who say, history geography is not for me. I want to do extra either art, I want to do extra music, I want to do those sorts of things because that's where my future lies. And what you do about that is a hit. You say, yeah, that's good, you've got a future sorted there. Or do you say, well, that's going to mess up my 10 and 8 scores as a hit? That's the tension. And one of the things that really irritates us is the way that RE, in the minister's mind, does not count as a humanity. So you can look at what are the kids who've been studying RE nationally over the past 5 years, and it has declined dramatically on the introduction of the attention aid and progress aid calculations. And I kind of struggle with that because I know that there are a lot of children who get a lot out of RE because it's one of the places in the curriculum where you can ask those sorts of questions that you can't ask anywhere else. And I think that there are some real challenges around attendance and progress aid as a measure. I think the average bit is absolutely right. So to answer your question the long way around, there are some challenges there. Heads have got a difficult choice to make. I still think, though, that in some schools on the island, we could be putting more children in for more of the ELAC subjects than we are. I think people haven't quite clocked the nuance. The trouble with that is, it's in year 9 when children make their options. So it's not a kind of quick fix to kind of get back and work at. But, you know, attainment aid, what is it really measuring, is still one of the kind of questions that I have in my mind. What we do all the time is we have this conversation with kids to help them understand that it is right and proper that they offer a progress aid-based curriculum. But within that, they've got to be provided for individual children. This is not about it. My worry is we have a big push on progress aid, get the score up, but actually children don't have the same outcomes, if you like, the same ways forward as a result of making the school system look better.
That's really my point of that by articulating the numbers there.
And you have finished. Thank you very much. Also, I would like to say, how is it educationalist make life so complicated. right.
Did they want to answer that?
Yeah, I've got an answer, but it might not be for this.
You can tell me.